Seems like it's been a couple of months since I've been here last, yes. And I even see a couple of new faces, and it's good to see you all this morning, and it's a blessing to see the young people involved in our service this morning. Thank you. Amen. And maybe a sermon sometime, huh, Pastor? So get ready. You never know when that time will come. But I praise God that I'm able to be here this morning. And as usual, we're in God's house, in His presence, basking in the warmth of His embrace. And as I was driving down here this morning, I was trying to recall when I was here last, and it seemed like it was in April. And been a while. I am still planning on moving back to Hawaii as soon as August. And I'm going to try, no promises, that to come back and see you at least once more before I leave. Amen. And been busy at the Norco Church. Praise God for that church family there as well. And sharing God's word as time permits us to do so. Let's bow our heads once more. Not that we haven't prayed, but let's. Father, thank you that you choose to use us, as feeble and broken as we may be. You choose us to be your servants. So come, Father. Come in a mighty way. Fill each one of us with your Spirit. Your Spirit, Father. So that we will move together with you to finish this work you've given us here in Vista. In Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is Jesus Is. What is it?
Jesus.
What is Jesus to you?
Everything.
Everything?
Yes.
He's your God? All right. Well, it's no wonder that in our scripture text this morning, in Revelation 4, verse 11, I'll read it from the New King James Version here since it's on the screen. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will these exist and were created." Amen. A God. I cannot wait, as we were talking about in our Sabbath school lesson this morning, eternity, to be there and be able to say this with the angels and all of God's children, right? Well, if you will permit me to do so, let me share with you how this sermon came about. You know, Pastor got a hold of me this past Sunday, and somehow in a conversation asked if I would come here this Sabbath, and I said, of course, yes. You know, how can I refuse a great man and a beautiful church? Well, a couple of weeks ago, one of the members at the Norco Church shared a song with me that her three grandchildren in Canada sang. And I was just going to read the lyrics, but it would be nicer if you hear the music along with it. So if you bear with me, I'll just hold it up to the microphone. Oops.
I hang by thread at the end of my rope. I'm losing my grip, I've lost all hope. Along comes the strength beyond my control. Oh, that That's what Jesus is. With the scoundrels and drunkards, lepers and me, on a hill far away between a couple of thieves, the last place on earth you think he would be, but that's right where Jesus is. The Prince of Peace and perfect love, that's who he is. And he welcomes me home. He's not afraid to get mud on his robe. That's just how Jesus is. The Prince of Peace and perfect love, that's who he is. And
the oldest is 13, and I don't know the other two ages, but they're younger. But Jesus is. Is he your strength?
Yes.
Is he your power?
Yes.
Amen. Is he your peace? You recall in Acts chapter 3, verse 2, Peter is at the temple, and there's a lame man from birth. And as Peter is approaching, the lame man looks up and Peter and them, you know, expecting something. And anyway, he wants to be healed, right? And Peter says to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And in verse 7 of Acts chapter 3, it says that the lame man receives strength as he stands. Funny thing, there's another song that just came to my mind. I don't know if any of you have heard it. It's called He Saw It All. It's about a guy in town way back then. He hears a commotion. And as he looks around, he sees a young man running towards him. And the young man stops to catch his breath. And the guy says, "Hey, what's all the commotion about?" And the young man says, "Hey, I was trying to catch the crippled man. Have you seen him come this way?" You get the idea? The crippled man was healed, and so he's running. And as the lyrics of the song continues, it says that the crippled man was running home to share what Jesus did today. Amen. What did Jesus do for you today? Anything? Anyone want to share real quick? No shame. We're family. Yes, sister.
It's just wonderful. Number one, I'm breathing, I'm alive.
Okay.
And my daughter, who went through so much problem in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's coming, she's here today to go to see the doctor who did the surgery for her. And I'm so, so, so thankful for that. And I thank you, each and everyone in our church. Everybody prayed for her. And the Lord do hear our praise. And he does do miracles, even today.
Amen. 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 Brother Waddell, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong in the pronunciation here. Jehovah Rophi? Rophi? God who heals? Okay. Whatever it is, God is a healer. And we see that throughout Jesus' ministry. Most of his ministry was healing, and as well as sharing. And we see this taking place over and over again. And here we see in the song, Jesus is amongst scoundrels, drunkards, lepers, and I don't know if you caught that, and me. And on a hill far away, he's between two thieves. But that's right where Jesus is, amongst sinners, such as you and I. You recall in Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, Jesus is in the home of Matthew. There's many publicans and sinners present there, and the Pharisees ask the question, why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Again, that's just where you find our Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. When I'm walking back guilty from the places I go, with no hesitation, he welcomes me home. He's not afraid to get mud on his robe. That's just how Jesus is. In John chapter 8, verses 3 through 11, the familiar story of the Pharisees bringing an adulterous woman before Jesus. And Jesus in verse 11 says to her what? Neither do I condemn thee. So Jesus, who is willing to forgive, does not condemn. The leper in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 and 41, the leper kneels down before Jesus and says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus does the unthinkable. He reaches out and touches the leper. A big no-no back then. Right. The island that I grew up on in Hawaii called Molokai had a little peninsula on the north shore called Kalaupapa. It's a place where people with Hansen's disease were taken and dropped off and to fend for themselves until the state finally got involved with their care. Leprosy was running rampant back then. And there was no cure, no known cure. And if you went to Kalaupapa, even till today, you'd see no children there. If a child was sent there with leprosy, they eventually grew up, and many of them have died already, some from the disease, some from old age. But it's a place that it's not really open for tourists anymore. But my youngest sister works there. I might be able to get connections if you're interested in going there, because you have to be sponsored to go to Kalaupapa to see where the lepers lived and how they dwelt there during their time of disease. And if any of you have seen the story of Molokai, M-O-L-O-K-A-I, it's about Father Damien, the Catholic priest that went there to work with the lepers, And he himself contracted the disease eventually and died from it. You can go onto YouTube. They have a little movie on that, if you're interested in watching that. But Jesus touches the leper. And it was thought back then that if you touch a leper, you're going to catch it. But instead of unclean going to clean, we find as Jesus touches, the clean goes to the unclean. And the unclean becomes clean as well. How would you like to be clean this morning? Not that I'm saying that you're dirty or sinful, but you know, we all need cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's who Jesus is. He is anxiously waiting for you and I to come before him and fall prostrate on our knees. Say, Father, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And what's his promise in 1 John 1:9? If we confess, we serve what kind of God? A God that is faithful and just, who will not only forgive, but do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you want to be cleansed from all unrighteousness this morning? And guess where that leaves you? Spick and span, squeaky clean.
Amen.
Okay? Now our part is to, as we were talking in Sabbath school this morning, is to stay with Jesus, abide in his love, so that we will stay clean.
Amen.
With Jesus. Okay? I don't know if you folks have moms like mine, but whenever my brother and I used to play in the mud, whenever it rained real hard on the island of Molokai, where I grew up, she wouldn't let us play out there too long. She would see us all muddy from head to toe. Because why? We would push each other around in the mud and sometimes even throw it at each other. And she would come out and see us how filthy we were. And she would say, get in here and get your clothes clean. Change your clothes. And what do mommies usually say after you change your clothes? You put on your clean clothes. Don't get dirty again. Well, boys being boys, you know what happens. A God who not only cleans us up, he has provided a way for you and I to stay clean.
Amen.
And it's up to you and I to choose the way. Who is who? Jesus. Okay? If we choose Jesus and choose to abide in his love and under his grace, his promise is, in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no what? Condemnation. Anybody love to be condemned?
No.
Nobody? Oh, I better put my hand down real quick. Because it's not a good feeling, not a good thought to be condemned. But God, yes, he cleanses from all unrighteousness. And his promise is there's now, therefore, no condemnation. The last part of the lyrics to that song, it says, the Prince of Peace, perfect love. That's who he is and where I run. Are you, am I, running to Jesus?
Yes.
That's what I was hoping to hear. Yes. Because that's where we belong, folks. We know that, right? And we often find ourselves, even though we know who our Jesus is and what he has done, what he is doing right now, and what he promises to do tomorrow, for some whatever reason, we have the tendency to always look back and turn our backs on Jesus. But Jesus is, what he is saying to you and I this morning, Pat, I can keep you from not turning back. You remember part of the Lord's Prayer is, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And that's what he wants to do with you and I this morning, so that we won't have to feel guilty anymore or condemned. So who is your Jesus? In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. Have you eaten this morning of the bread of life? I encourage you, as soon as you're able to, after you wake up each morning, eat the bread that our Father has to offer. Eat the bread. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, what does it say about God's word? Thy word is a lamp unto and a light unto my path. Am I allowing God's word to show me the way to Jesus? Am I allowing God's word to keep me with Jesus? Am I allowing God's word to help me share Jesus? Because again, one of the reasons why we're here this morning is not only to encourage and to worship together, but to get the word out. You've heard me say it many times here. We need to get out of these walls, out into Vista. Otherwise, when will Jesus come? In my mind, I'm saying always quickly. Today needs to be the day Jesus comes. And if he does not physically come in the clouds, may he come into our hearts. Amen. So that we will go out and share Jesus in whatever way he tells us to. And because of who Jesus is, in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, we have the familiar story of the wedding in Cana. Yeah? You all know that story? Yeah? Jesus has come forth from the wilderness with his battle with the devil. You remember that story? And he and five disciples, there are only five at the moment, Peter, Philip, Nathanael, John, and Andrew. The rest come later as he. But at the beginning of his ministry, he just has these five disciples, and they're all with him as they travel to Cana. Now, Mary, Jesus' mother, happened to be a relative of the bridal party. And so she was busy assisting with the arrangements and everything. And when she sees her son coming, she is appalled at his appearance because he still has the marks of his battle in the wilderness with Satan. However, she doesn't allow that to distract her from what has just happened at the feast. And as she approaches Jesus, she says what? There's no wine. Now, Jesus, being who he is, you know, he could have said, hey, everybody, stop the music. Stop the party. Watch this. Bam. You folks want wine? There it is. Is that what he does? No. No. You see, Jesus' mother Mary, she was hoping for an opportunity to see her son Jesus make himself known. Hey, my son, he's the Messiah. I mean, what mother wouldn't want that, right? And for their kid. My son is the Messiah. This is going on in her mind amongst countless other individuals who are thinking the same thing. Jesus, Messiah, he is going to free us from Roman bondage. However, Mary, when Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12, Mary did not quite understand what Jesus said when he said, "Don't you know that I need to be about what? My Father's business?" Like Abraham, who was trying to help God have a son, Mary was trying to help Jesus become Messiah. He was already Messiah. Just that Mary was trying to do it her way. And so in response to the mother, he says, "Woman, what have I to do with you? My hour is not yet come." Now, if Jesus was Hawaiian, he would say it something like this: "Hey, Mara, what do you think I'm going to do? You think I can just make wine?" No. Mary, all she does is turns to the servants, for somewhere inside of her, she still believes that Jesus is able to do something here to alleviate the problem of no wine. So Mary says to the servants, "Just do what he tells you." She didn't know what he was going to do, but she just said, "Do what he tells you." How many of us do what he tells us? I got to confess, I haven't always done what he has told me to do. But I praise God, as we said earlier, he does what? He forgives and cleanses from all unrighteousness. And with the forgiveness and the cleansing, he provides power. His grace that he says is sufficient. It's enough, more than enough, for you to walk with me. So this morning, because of who Jesus is, he is saying, "Walk with me and watch what I will do." So after Mary tells the servants to do what Jesus says, "Okay, go and fill 6 jars that were standing there with water." Now, if you were one of the servants, what would you do? They're out of wine. They don't need water. But yet, they obey. And they don't just fill it up halfway, three-quarter way, two-thirds of the way. They fill it up to the brim, to overflowing. It's estimated that it was about approximately 20 to 30 gallons in each container. So the water is filled into the stone jars. And now Jesus says, "Go and serve it." Now, there's been some argument as to when exactly the water turned into wine. But we won't go there this morning, because there's several theories. For example, some believed as soon as it was poured in, some believed as when it was dipped, some believed as when it was poured into the glass. Whatever you think, the Bible does not tell us, so don't worry about it, okay? All we need to consider is getting there. All right, and we'll find out the real answer from the one who made the wine. All right, so the wine is poured and served, and you know the story. It's the best wine. The best. And then again, that's just how Jesus is and who Jesus is. In Mark chapter 5, verse 22, we find Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, approaching Jesus and falling at his feet, saying, "My daughter is sick. Can you please come with me to heal my daughter?" And because of who Jesus is, what does Jesus do? He goes. Now, let me add this. You will find that as you look at the ministry of Jesus, that Jesus placed himself where he needed to be. Did you get that? Jesus placed himself. He didn't just casually walk from town to town and say to the disciples, "Okay, hey, today I think we should go here, I think we should go there." No. He had a purpose. Everything Jesus did had a purpose. And that purpose on this particular day was not only to heal Jairus' daughter, but also he put himself right where the woman who was suffering for 12 years. You recall that story. Jesus placed himself right where the woman was able to reach out and touch. And immediately she was healed. Getting back to Jairus, we know the story. He's on his way home, and servants come and tell him, "Your daughter is dead." Oh, what a feeling for a parent to hear that about their child. Nevertheless, Jesus says, "Don't worry, let's go, let's continue." They get there. Of course, there's the mourners. They're crying and wailing. And Jesus dismisses them and goes into where the daughter is lying. And boom, the daughter is resurrected once again. Because that's who Jesus is. He's a God who likes to touch even the ungodly, the unclean. He's a God that wants to forgive and cleanse. He's a God that wants to heal. He's a God who is able to raise people from the dead. And I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for that glorious resurrection day. Yes. I know we all have lost loved ones. And I know you would love to see them again. That day is going to be soon and very soon. But only you and I can help hasten that day by sharing God's love. Because what does it say? This gospel of the kingdom shall go where? My version says all of Vista. And then the end will come. So let's get it out there, folks. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was at the barbershop getting my hair trimmed. And this one barbershop that I go to quite regularly, it was the first time I saw this one barber, a lady. And I happened to have her as my barber. And as I sat there in the chair, we got into a conversation. And I was just, you know, listening to her, what she was saying. And then finally, I had to pop the question, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes." And I thought she was going to cut my ear off. But heaven forbid. But she was so excited. And she looked at me and says, "Are you?" I said, "Yes, I am. I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian." Amen. And I said, "I don't know what you are, but hey, praise God." And she says, "Yes, I cannot help but praise God. He captured me." And that's her exact words. "He captured me." I said, "Well, hallelujah. He captured me too. And let's see who else he will capture through you and I." Amen. Okay? And I know God would love to do just that. But he's waiting for individuals such as you and I to be bold enough, filled with his love, filled with his spirit, and all because of who Jesus is, to go and share in whatever way you're able to share. just yesterday, my neighbor, about maybe five houses down from me, I saw him outside watering his plants. So I stopped what I was doing and walked over and said, "Hey, George, how you doing? Haven't seen you for a while." And he's a Jehovah's Witness. And as we were talking, and you know, and he said something to the effect about me being busy. And I said, "Yeah, I've been busy serving God, my God." And the more we talked, he said, "You know what? You'd make a good Jehovah's Witness." And I said, "I already am. I'm already Jehovah's Witness in a different way from what he's thinking, but of course, you know." And that's all about, folks, us being willing to be used by Almighty God. And he will do the rest. Jesus, he's not just a miracle worker, but creator, one who wants to recreate in you and I his image, a clean heart and a right spirit, so that his image can be truly reflected in us. There's another song, I'll just read you the lyrics. It's called "I Speak Jesus." Wherever we go, guess what? Because of who we belong to, or who we claim to belong to, we need to be speaking Jesus. You may have heard this song before, but like I said, I'll just read the lyrics. It says, "I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Because your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Burn like a fire. I speak Jesus." That should be in our heart wherever he sends us throughout the day, whether you're at work, in the grocery store, or at the beach, or wherever you may be, we need to be speaking Jesus. Amen. I recently came across a quote that says, "I don't want to be your number one. I want to be your only one." See the difference? Jesus is saying to you and I today, "I want to be your only one." In Psalms 23, verse 6, it says, a familiar psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall what?
Follow
me." How long? "All the days of my life." And what will happen? "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is what Jesus wants. He wants you and I to dwell, to live with him for how long? Forever. However, Jesus knows that we are going to need help getting there. And that is why he says in verse 1, "The Lord is what? My shepherd." Have you made the Lord your shepherd?
Yes.
Because if the Lord is not my shepherd, guess what? Everything that he gives us from verse 2 on to verse 6 won't happen. God is waiting to lead us beside the still waters. He's waiting to cause us to lie down in the green pastures. He's waiting to restore our soul, my soul. He's waiting to lead us in paths of righteousness. He's waiting to feed us in the presence of our enemies. He's waiting to anoint our head with oil. He's waiting for you and I to accept him as shepherd so that we can claim that promise. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for how long?
Forever.
Hallelujah. Again, all because of who Jesus is. In closing, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it reads that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee is going to bow. Unfortunately, though, not every knee will be within the walls of the New Jerusalem. Where will your knees be? Is my question to you this morning. Jesus is worthy. I want to be there, folks.
Amen.
How about you?
Amen.
I want to be able to say, as we read in our scripture text this morning, thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. But while we're still waiting for Jesus to come, you and I will be tempted. We'll be tried because of the adversary, the devil. But because we belong to Jesus, we are going to be bashed from side to side, up and down, and every which way. So as part of the lyrics of the closing song says in hymn number 534, will your anchor hold? Part of the lyrics says, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? Is your anchor in Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Again, because of who Jesus is, we can claim the promise that he is my anchor.
Amen.
He is my Lord. He is my shepherd. So that, yes, I will dwell in his house forever. And that is my prayer for each one of us this morning, that we be there. And again, I'm going to extend this invitation. When we get there, as soon as you're through saying thank you to Jesus and casting your crown at his feet, meet me in the southeast corner of the New Jerusalem. Okay? There's going to be a big luau, okay, in Hawaiian, that's feast. And the beautiful part about this feast, everything is provided.
Yes.
Amen.
Everything. You don't have to worry about bringing paper plates or whatever. Just come. And we'll have the biggest reunion where we won't have to say goodbye to each other, but see you later. Will you vow with me to be there on the southeast corner?
Yes.
An old pastor friend of mine started this back in, early 80s, when he was giving us his farewell, because he had a call to go to a different church. And he had everyone form one big circle. I mean, it was a good-sized circle. And he said, okay, now it's time for us to get a royal hug. Anyone experience a royal hug? Okay. We're all in this circle. And you know, there's gaps in between here and there. He said, okay, now everyone, move in until you cannot move. We're tight, shoulder to shoulder. And he says, now hug each other. And we'll do this once more in the southeast corner of the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes. And if I don't see you anymore on this earth, I will see you in the southeast corner, all because of who Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
I invite you to turn with me to our closing hymn, number 534. Will your anchor hold? Will it hold, folks?